It didn't matter that folks told her any child she conceived would probably never survive. The slightest chance of success meant there was hope. Kat had never been an observer of limits, and the restrictions put on her because of her illness were never adhered to, especially in her head. Her daily trek to the beach in protest against being constantly viewed as an invalid was especially true on this day, her 28th birthday. Kat walked deep in thoughts, savouring the feeling of the warm white sand between her toes. Her sketch pad and pencils in a cloth bag flung over one shoulder, while her flip-flops hung loosely between her fingers. Her hair, long, thick and black, was tied up in a ponytail away from her slim oval face, gently swinging from side to side as she walked. Her nose was straight and flared at the nostrils, and when she smiled, her wide, full lips revealed a gap between her two top teeth. She had been told that she had inherited her father's brown eyes, huge and almond-shaped, his proud angular chin, and her mother's bronze, smooth skin. She was slender, no matter how much she ate. Weight never stuck to her. One of a series of reasons why her health was such a concern to some meadow folks. But she had curves in the right places, and her walk was innate royalty. With each step, the soft grains gave way beneath her bare feet. She shaded her eyes from the glare of the afternoon sun, which had transformed the beach into a sheet of shimmering silver. Some days it took a great deal for her to make these walks, but she did so religiously, making her way from her mother's house to the line where the road ended and the beach began. Only a crisis, a sickle cell attack, could prevent her daily trek, forcing her to take to her bed. Kat was born with sickle cell anemia. Her early childhood was a hazy mist of white hospital walls, doctors, morphine, drips, folic acid, penicillin and pain, rendering her a mere spectator of life. Like many people who face death and live to tell the tale, she was fully appreciative of each second. This is the reason why her daily walks to the beach were so important. They gave her the chance to feel fully alive and often free from pain. She could watch children play and young pregnant women reclining on the beach, their bellies revealed, smooth and hard. She loved to watch those women the most, to marvel at the miracle happening inside of them, to hope, wish, dream and pray that one day she would have her own. She had been like a sponge in water, soaking up the old adages of the folks in her small rural town regarding childless women. Over the years, she had witnessed that no childless woman escaped ridicule or the malicious lash of the gossip's tongue as to the reasons God had withheld the fruit of her womb. The older women believed children were paramount to a holy marriage, that children somehow made it impossible for Satan to tempt a man away from his wife. The men also lived by this, even in the 21st century, and if their wife could not give them an offspring, then they were justified in maintaining a mistress who could provide a home for their seeds. This fable had gained cultural status among the folks in the meadows, where everyone knew everyone, and in the churchyard your genealogy went back generations, and where things were always in keeping with traditions. The meadows could easily be called Jamaica's forgotten gem, with its culture of retaining these old-fashioned ideologies. It was a small fishing village on the coastal west of the island, framed by the ocean and 4 miles of powdery white sand, and scattered with trees of every kind, palm, coconut, almond, avocado. Turning off the main road led you onto the dusty lanes and into the hills, where goats and cows could be seen roaming along the roadside, independently or being led by their owner, who was usually a farmer. The town's main income came from fishing and tourism. God and the church was the glue of society, and a respect that held the elders in high esteem was unwritten policy. Kat had lived her whole life in the meadows. She had gone to the best schools, where the majority of the teachers were white, and the pupils came from wealthy families. Thanks to a trust fund left by her father for her education, Kat was able to study art and design at university.